Okay, good evening, everybody. Again, Erev Pesach. Welcome back to our learning at Shari. We are days away from Zman Chirusinu, Chag HaPesach. We are learning Leilui Nishmasa and Lezecher Nishmasa, Miriam Frohn, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Alaha HaShalom. May your neshama have a continuous aliyah in the schus of the Torah learning that we will share together this evening. So I wasn't sure if I should have shir, if we should have shir, if we should not have shir, but we have a kvias. And I wanted to share some final thoughts with you before Chag HaPesach. And I also thought that it was so appropriate that this is my last shir before Pesach, because this is really a shir on Emunah. And the whole series is on Emunah and Dveikus and building our relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam and coming closer to him with trust and faith. And the Zohar calls the Sukkah the Tzila Demei Menusa, the shade or the shelter of faith. And the matzah is lechem demei menusa, the bread of faith. Matzah is known as the bread of Amunah. So I think it's an appropriate way for us, or for me at least, to end my shiurim, and with this shir, which is really on Amunah. So I want to begin by looking at the psukim that talk about the four sons. So I'm going to screen share with you. Okay. I have Shmos Perikid Gimel prepared on my screen. Can you see it? Yes? Okay, very good. So we know, actually, you know what? I want to do it. I planned it over here, but I actually want to go over here, because here there's Rashi as well. Okay, can you see my screen? Did I switch to a different screen? Okay, so we know that Rashi tells us to Shemos Per Yud Gimel Pasuk Yud Dalet, the very last Rashi in Parshas Bo. Rashi tells us Keneged Arba Banim Dibra Torah, that the Torah speaks about four sons, and this is what we say on the HaSeder in the passage of Maggid. There's so much revolving around four in the Pesach Seder. There's the Arba Lashon Ula in the beginning of Parshas Ve'era Perag Vav. Hashem promises with four terms of redemption He will take us out. There are Arba Kosos, Keneged the Arba Lashon Ula. There are four sons. There are four questions. Things happen in sets of four. So we have Keneged Arba Banim Dibra Torah. So let us look. Where are the four sons in the Torah? So the first one occurs actually in Perek Yud Beis. This is in Parshas Bo, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Chav Vav through Chav Zayin. Oi, I went too far. Shemos Perek Yud Beis, Pesukim Chav Vav through Chav Zayin. Here we go. I'm just putting them up on the screen. Okay, so we're in Parshas Bo. And Parshas Bo is the actual parsha of Yitzias Mitzrayim. And the pasuk tells us, V'hayu kiyamru, v'haya kiyamru eilechem b'neichem, ma'ha avoda hazo dachem. And it will be when your sons will say to you, what is this work? Now, this question is familiar to us because this question, ma'ha avoda hazo dachem, is the question of the ben ha, which one? The rasha. This is the question of the Rasha, Maha Avoda Hazosachem. Interestingly, it's the first of the four sons that is listed in the Torah. It's Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Havav, V'amartim, and you should say to him, not the answer we give in the Haggadah, which is you should knock out his teeth, rather, V'amartim, Zevach Pesach Hu LaHashem, Asher Pasach Abate B'nei Yisrael B'Mitzrayim. It is a Zevach Pesach to Hashem that he skipped over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt, B'nag Fals Mitzrayim, when he smote the Egyptians, V'aspatenu Hitzil, and our homes he saves, V'yikor Ha'am, and the people gave thanks, and they rejoiced, and they bowed down. So Rashi says, what were they giving thanks for? What were they so happy about? Abasuras Hagu'ula, over the news that the redemption was at hand, Ubiata Aretz, and that they were going into Aretz Yisrael, and finally, Ubasuras Habanim Sheyulahem, they were giving thanks over three things. Number one, the news of the Ge'ula, the redemption was at hand. Number two, they're about to go into Aretz Yisrael. And number three, well, they don't know yet about the 40 years, Eretz Yitzias Mitzrayim, Matan Torah, Eretz Yisrael. And finally, Ubasuras Habanim Sheyulahem, and the news that they would have children. But keep in mind that this is the Ben Harasha, Vahayi Kiyomu Eilechem B'neichem, Maha Voda Zodachem, will be when your sons will say to you, what is this work? Ah, Vayikor Ha'am, Vishtachvu, wow, it's amazing, Mazel Tov, it's wonderful, and we bow down. So let's understand what's going on here. But first, let's go to the question of the next son. The next son's question is in Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Ches of Parshas Bo, and I'm scrolling it down to it on my screen right here. The Higadata Labincha Bayamahu Leimor, and you will tell your son on that day, saying, Ba'avurza Asa Hashem Li B'tzeiti Mitzrayim, because of this Hashem said to me when I left Egypt. This is the question of the She'enu Yodea Lishol, the one who does not know to ask. Rashi identifies, this is Shemos 13:8. Rashi to Shemos 13:5. Okay, when I prepared, I was using my Chumash, not Sefaria. I'm just putting on the screen for Sefaria's purposes to share with you. But Rashi to Shemos 13:5, Perek Gimel Pasuk Hey, tells us that this pasuk Ches, is the She'eno Yodei Lishal. He's so simple, he doesn't even know how to ask questions. Therefore, Apsachlo Vehi Gadatal Bincha, you shall tell your son on that day, saying, because of this, God did for me when I left Egypt. So far we have the Rasha. Here we have the She'eno Yodei Lishal. If we scroll down a little more, Shemos 13:14, V'haya Kish Alcha Bincha Machar. It will be when your son will ask you tomorrow, Lemor Mazo, what is this? And Rashi says, and you could see here right on my screen, Zet Tinok Tipesh. She'eino yodea la ha'amik she'elato. He does, this is what we call, not the tipesh, but what we call the tam. The simple son, he doesn't even know how to add depth to his question. So he stam asks, says Rashi Mazos, what's this? He can't even formulate or articulate his question very well. So he just says simply, what is this? So we saw the question of the Rasha in 12:26, the statement, if you will, of the She'eino Yodei Lishal in 13:8. Now we come to 13:14, and we have the Tam, what we call the simple son, what Rashi calls the Tinok Tipesh. We do not call that, and you see Rashi says here, to Shemos 13:14, Yud Gimel Yodad, write it, and the bow, Dibra Torah Keneged Arba Banim. The Torah speaks Neged Arba Banim, Rasha, the wicked, V'She'eino Yodei Lishal, the one who does not know how to ask, V'Hashoel Derech Stuma, the one who asks Stam. He doesn't have the depth to ask, what we call the time. And finally, Hashoel Derech Chachma, the one who asks by way of wisdom. It's extremely interesting. I always find it very interesting for me that the question of the Chacham, where is that? I have shown you the question of the Rasha, 12:26. I showed you the question of the Tam, or the simple one, 13:8. The question of the She'eino Yodei, no, I mixed it up. The question of the She'eino Yodei Lishal, 13:8. The question of the simple one, 13:14. Where is the Chacham? It's extremely interesting. The Chacham's question is not recorded in the Torah till Sefer Devarim, Perek Vav, which is Parshas Ve'eschanan. Perek Vav, Pasuk Chav. The Pasuk says, can you see my screen? I switched to a different, yeah, okay. Ki Yishalcha bin Chamachar Lemar. When your son will ask you tomorrow, saying, Ma ha'edus v'hachukim v'hamishpatim asher tziva Hashem alkeinu eschem. Oh, why does this sound familiar to us? Because this is the question of who? The Chacham. When does the Torah give us the question of the Chacham? Not in Parshas Bo. When we have the questions of all the other sons, immediately while the Exodus is unfolding, the Torah says that these sons will ask you, or these sons will say to you, or these sons will wonder, but rather by later, in Devarim, 40 years later, at the end of his life, Moshe says, oh, there's another son, it's the Chacham, and he too will ask you a question. Maha Edus, what are the Edus, and the statutes, and the laws, and the mitzvot that God, Hashem, our God, commanded you? V'amarta l'bincha, and you will say to your son, Avadim hayinu, the parvim Mitzrayim, we were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt, v'yotzeinu Hashem in Mitzrayim b'yad chazaka, and God took us out of Egypt with a very strong hand, and signs and wonders he did upon Paro and Egypt before our eyes, and he took us out of there to bring us, to give us the land that he swore to our forefathers, and he commanded us all these mitzvahs. Okay. So here we have the question of the four sons. I just want to point out something that I didn't see brought down anywhere, but I find it compelling and interesting, that the Chacham's question is not listed in the Torah till much later. Sefer Devarim is the Mishnah Torah. It's Moshe's review of everything that happened the 40 years of the desert. So we have the Rasha who asks right away, and the Tam who asks in the, while the Exodus is folding, we're told your son will ask you, and the She'eino Yodei, the three other sons, the wicked, the simple, the one who does not know what to ask. But the Chacham's question is not listed till 40 years later. And that makes an impression. And I think there's a lesson there. To be a wise person is to internalize, to think, to contemplate, to take time before running to ask, to ingest and digest the information that you have learned. And once you mull over it and think about it, you can ask, you can always ask, but not to be so quick to jump to think you have ingested and digested all the information properly. Take the time to ponder, take the time to think, and perhaps that's what the lesson is teaching us when the Chacham asks so many years later, when his question is listed so many years later, to tell you that to be a Chacham is not only your IQ level, but to know what to do with the information and how to contemplate the information, and then if you still don't understand after the teaching and the understanding and the explaining and the demonstration by your elders, then you ask. So just a word on the wise, to the wise who are learning with me. So I want to talk about the Ben Harasha because, like you saw in 12:26 through 12:27, so the pasuk has told us. I'm just opening up my chumash now. I stop screen sharing. Be when your son says ma avodah zalachem. That's the question of the wicked son. You give an answer, which is not like the answer in the Haggadah. But the people bowed and prostrated themselves. They're rejoicing. They're so happy. They're overcome. They're bowing down in ecstasy. Why are they bowing down? Says Rashi, Al Basuras Hagu'ula, the redemption is at hand. Ubiyat Ha'aretz, they're going to the land. Ubisur Habanim Shi'ulam, and they were just informed that they would have children. I listened to a shiur by Rabbi Dr. J.J. Schechter. He gave a Yahrzeit shiur in memory of his father, Zatzal. His father is perhaps most famous, Rabbi Herschel Schechter, Zatzal, for liberating the camps. So he gave a Yahrzeit shiur for his father. So he asked the question of, why are we bowing down and giving thanks over the Ben Harasha? What's so great about the Ben Harasha that the people could bow and prostrate? Ve'yikodam, that's a reason to dance. That's a reason to give thanks. Oh, the Chacham, my son. Hey, the old Jewish folk, my son the doctor, my son the accountant, my son the PhD, my son the Rasha. Give him a punch in the mouth. So before we answer that question, I'm going to tell you a story that he told over. He spoke about the very famous picture of his father liberating the camps and conducting prayer services. The first prayer service in the liberated, I believe it was the Buchenwald camp after the war. You know what picture I'm talking about? It's one of the most famous images of the Holocaust. You don't know what I'm talking about? It's worth, no? Some are saying no. Okay, you know what? I didn't anticipate that. Oh, can I type in while this is up here? How could I? Oh, I could move that. This is one of the most famous pictures of the Holocaust. Here we go. Of course, the spinning bichwa. Okay, I'm going to move you over here. Can you see my screen? Okay, this is one of the most iconic, famous images of the Holocaust, the aftermath of the Holocaust. You have a couple of hundred survivors. Rabbi Dr. J.G. Schechter said, you know where they were? You know where this prayer service was? In the cinema hall. He said it in Yiddish or in German, I'm not sure. It was the cinema hall in the camp. What was the cinema hall where the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, would go at night to watch movies? Well, after the Holocaust, this is Rabbi Herschel Schechter. That's how he was 27 years old, a chaplain in the American army. At the time of this event, 27. You can see they're in their striped uniforms. He said, Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lauschlita points to this picture. He points to the boy in the corner. I'm not sure which boy. And Rabbi Yisrael Meir says, that was me. So in this cinema hall, in the immediate aftermath of the Holocaust, this Rabbi Herschel Schechter here with the U.S. Army is conducting prayer services for the hundreds of survivors who packed the hall. But Rabbi Dr. J.J. Schechter said his father, after this, it changed his entire life. He spoke constantly about his experiences liberating Europe, liberating the camps. He spoke about it to Rabbi Dr. J.J. Schechter and his sister and his in-law children, and he spoke about it all the time. And when he would tell this story of this matzah, of this prayer service, if you will, he said not all the survivors came to the cinema hall for the prayer service. Maybe 20%, maybe 30%, less than 50% came to the cinema hall. Everyone else didn't come. They stayed outside, smoking, whatever. They were outside. They didn't want to come for the prayer services. Rabbi Herschel Schechter starts davening with them. They haven't davened in years. And many have just survived the Gehenna that we could talk about, but can't fathom with even one cell of my being. I cannot fathom. One of the boys was cutting celery tonight. I can't help it, as the grandchild of four Holocaust survivors. I don't say it all the time to my kids, I can't help it, but when he cut off the end of the celery, I said, and the leaves, because we don't use the leaves, and we don't use the end, I said, you know what this reminds me of? I said, my grandparents. So when he started the prayer service, everyone was sobbing. Right, Dr. J. Schechter said all the survivors were sobbing, they were crying. And suddenly, from the back of the hall, the back, look at this picture, the back of the hall, someone screams out. One of the survivors screams out and screams in a very loud voice in Yiddish. Rabbi Dr. J. Schechter said in Yiddish, I'm not going to. Screams out in Yiddish, who are you praying to? What God are you praying to? Are you praying to the God that threw your mother and your father into the crematoria? It was very quiet. And people are continuing to cry. And this is what this man is screaming at. Rabbi Herschel Schechter was 27 years old. He didn't know what to do. So he walked to the back of the hall. I mean, you see the picture on the screen. He walked to the back of the hall. He didn't say a word. He put his arms around the man and he hugged him. He told his children that hug felt like 2 minutes. Rabbi Dr. J.J. Schechter said it was probably 20 seconds. And he simply hugged the survivor. He didn't say a word. And after the hug, he went back to the front and he continued to lead the prayer services. I'm going to close the screen now because you all see this image. Less than 20%, less than 50% were in there of the survivors in the camp at that time. Maybe 20%, maybe 30%. Okay, keeping that story in mind, I'll now tell you something else Rabbi Dr. J.J. Schechter said in the Shir. He said there's a fifth son. There are not only four sons. We saw the four sons. We went through them in the Chumash with some Rashis. We know that there's the Chacham, the wise, the Rasha, who asks, who challenges, what God are you praying to? The one who can't even ask, She'eini yodei Elisha, and the simple one. There's actually a fifth son. The fifth son is the one who doesn't show up for the Seder. The fifth son is the one who isn't even at the table. The fifth son is the one who says, I'm not so not interested, I'm not even coming. The Rasha showed up. He's at your table. Vayikod ha'am. Abasuras ha'gu'ula. Albias ha'aretz. Albasuras ha'banim she'yu lahem. He came to the table. The fifth son stays outside. The fifth son is even asking. He's so cut off, he's not even interested in challenging. He doesn't have any questions of faith because he's completely out. The Rosh is at your table. And for that, there's something to bow down and give thanks. Rabbi Dr. J.J. Schechter connected this to the story that his father, he said, he would tell it over and over. And he said to his father, you know what the chiddush of this story is? The man asked questions. Of course he asked questions. He just survived the Gehenna. What God are you davening to? Are you God, davening to the God? You're praying to the God in Yiddish. He was screaming. Who put your mother and your father into the gas chambers? But he came. Dr. J.J. Schechter said to his father, but he came. The 70% outside, the 80%, they didn't come. This is not a judgment say at all. Chalila v'chas, horrifying to even think that. It should be very obvious. I'm just putting that out there. But he came. Right, Dr. J.J. Schechter said, there is such a power in showing up, in being at the table. And even if the question is not articulated in the most proper way, now that he's at the table, we try and bring him in. Ilu hayasham lo hayanigal. If he was there, he wouldn't have been redeemed. But now he was redeemed. And now he's part of Am Yisrael. And now it's impossible to be without him. He compared it to the Arba Minim. The famous Medrash, which I'm not going to go through, even though I have the source next to me, the famous Medrash about the Arba Minim, the Lulav, the Hadassim, the Esrog, and the Aravos. So we have a Jew who has Torah and Midos Tovos, the Esrog. A Jew who has only Torah, no Midos Tovos. A Jew who has Midos Tovos, no Torah. What's the Aravos? The Aravos is the Jew who has no Torah, no Midos Tovos. Could you imagine such a Jew? Says Rabbi Dr. David Schechter. But what do we do? Four. Once again, it's four. Right, Dr. J.J. Schechter said that Pesach doesn't have the monopoly on four. There's also four by the Sukkos, by the Arba Minim. And he said, and you know as well as I know, that if you only take three, Esrog, Lulav, Hadassim, and you leave out the Aravos, you haven't filled the mitzvah. You haven't filled three-quarter of the mitzvah. You don't have the mitzvah at all. There's no mitzvah if you leave one out. The Arava is essential to the fulfillment. Who's the Arava? The Jew who has no Torah, no Midos Tovos. What kind of Jew doesn't have Torah and doesn't have good deeds? Have you ever heard of such a Jew? But he's part of Kal Yisrael. And the power of the Rasha at our Seder table is that he came. It said he showed up. The fifth son is the one who's not even there. The fifth son's the one who doesn't even want to know. That's the real tragedy. Very nice. Kol Yisrael Ravim Zeh LaZeh. So I don't know if you said this on purpose, but a ravim is also the root of a ravos. He interestingly compared it to the charoses. I'm not going through all his halachic sources. There were 8 pages of sources. I'm just telling you the Vartach without going in depth in the sources. It's interesting when you look at the charoses, and after this, we're going to move on to another vart. It's interesting when you look at the charoses. Matzah, you make a bracha. Alechis matzah. Maror, you make a bracha. Alechis matzah. Maror. Arba kosos, you make a bracha on each of the kos. Karpas, you make a hadamah. Charoses, there's no bracha. What's it doing on the table? What's the purpose of charoses? Either Chazal say to remember the tapuach, tachas ha-tapuach or oticha, under the apple tree, the woman aroused the men so that they should not give up and they should continue to birth Knesset Yisrael, or it's to remember the tit, the cement, the mak, the straw that the Bnei Yisrael, the built bricks. So Chazal concluded it has to have both components. Remember the apple tree, so it's grated apples, and remember the mortar and cement, so it's a thick paste. So the Rambam himself has a halachic debate with himself. In one place, the Rambam writes, charoses, if it would be a mitzvah, you'd have to make a bracha. Alachil is charoses. But then he concludes it's not a mitzvah. So is it or isn't it? What's the purpose of charoses? It's weird. What's he doing on the table? Everything on the table has a bracha. There's a kiyum. There's an asiyas or mitzvah. Karpas is on the seder plate. So you dip, you make a bracha. Dama, you eat. And mara, you make a bracha. And hagafen, you make a bracha. You wash. Rachza, you make a bracha. Motzi matzah, you make a bracha. Kol Reich, you say a passage. What's the charoses? He's nothing. He's just sitting on the table. Why is he on the Seder plate? So he says, perhaps you could say the charoses is the lesson of the Ben Harasha. The charoses has to show up. Sometimes just showing up is all the effort you can invest. And that's godless. The power of being able to show up. And it's something we have to appreciate. And something that we have to strive to push for in our own selves. I read a beautiful vart this year that I never saw. I don't remember, unfortunately, which Haggadah I saw, and I was preparing for my Pesach Shiurim. But I saw a beautiful idea, which is that the Arba Banim is each one of us inside of us. I'm not making this up. I read this. I don't remember where. This year in preparation for my Pesach Shiurim. We all have the Arba Banim inside of us. Sometimes we feel like the Chacham. He had a great geshmak day. What a ha'ara, what an accomplishment. How much cleaning and how much cooking. And I taught a class and you wouldn't believe it. Whoa! Next morning you wake up and you say, I feel like a shmata and the day is terrible and I didn't accomplish anything. And I have left the dishes overnight, didn't make supper for my family. This year wasn't so good. I didn't help the kid with homework. And you feel like the Rasha. Sometimes you feel like the Tom, whatever, nothing's in my control. Anyway, God, it's up to you. I'm just simple. I'm just going to go through life. No, it's just up to you. Sometimes you feel like the She'eni Yodei Elisha. Say, Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm so overwhelmed. I don't even know what to ask you. What a gvart. The Arba Banim is you. It's me. We are each one of the Arba Banim. Sometimes you have to push yourself to show up. Maybe tonight. I didn't know. I said to my husband, I don't know if anyone's going to come to Shir tonight. So my husband said, Michal, yeshe in Shir. It's after the 6:20. Chachos, he said, it was just the rabbi and me. One person. That's a goddess of one person. One person could change the whole world. So can I know her? Mikam Chayishal. There's 20 times more than one person tonight's year. You have to show up. But sometimes you feel like the Rashu doesn't want to show up. Sometimes you feel like the fifth son who's standing outside. God, today, what you did to me today, God. Me and you, I thought we had a relationship. I'm going to daven today. Yesterday, I was the Chacham. Today, I feel like Shmata. Arba Banim is the life experience we all go through. The cycle of life. The different emotive experiences. As long as we're not the fifth son. Because where's the fifth son? He didn't even show up. You have a question? You have a statement? You want to throw something in God's face, said Rabbi Dr. J.J. Schechter? Do it from Shul. At least you're in Shul! My husband and I were speaking to Rabbi Shai Schechter the other day. You know, it's hard to keep track of the days when all the kids are off of school and Yontif is coming and some shiurim meet, some shiurim don't meet. Today is Wednesday. Yom Revi, the Shabbos. So on Monday, as when I was speaking to Rabbi Shai Schachter. He told us a beautiful vart. He said, if you look in the Haggadah, right before Manishtana, it says, Kan HaBen Shoel. Once again, we're talking about the questions of the son. Kan HaBen Shoel. So he said, the Ishbitzer, Chassidic Rabbi, used to say, what does Kan HaBen Shoel mean? We're about to start Maggid. You said the Halach Ma'anya. We're about to start Maggid. Maggid is the passage of retelling of the Exodus from Egypt. You're going to come up to the Arba Banim. What does it mean? Here the son asks. Rabbi Shai Schachter said it means, says the Ishbitzer, you, the child of the Ribbono Shel Olam, can now ask whatever you want. You have a unique opportunity on Seder night, Kan HaBen Shoel. It's not talking about your child saying, Manishtana HaLaila Zemi Kol HaLeilos. It is. Shabbat HaLeilos, Anu Ochlim, Chametu Matzah, HaLeila Zekula Matzah, but deeper than that. Deeper than that. Kan HaBen Shoel, here the son asks me, could ask Hashem whatever you want on this night. You could ask for whatever you want on this night. There's such a power that if you're at the table, you came. And maybe that day it was stressful, it was harried. Rabbi Shai Schachter didn't say this. I'm embellishing a little. I don't know. Kids didn't cooperate. I'm trying to think of all kinds of scenarios. It's so rushed. It's Erev Shabbos, but it's still not really Pesach. But it is Pesach and we have to have challah rolls. And what should we do? But you came and you showed up. And even if you're asking, now's the time. Kan HaBen Shoel, Rabbi Shai Schachter said to us, this is the time. The Jew can ask Hashem for whatever he wants on this night. Anitzak al Hashem Elokei Vaseinu. Ayaris Anienu Vesachtenu Vesamalenu. Ayishmas Kolenu. I didn't exactly say it in order. Kan HaBen Shoel, keep that in mind. Motzei Shabbos, when you sit down to Leil HaSeder. This is the time to ask for whatever you want. I want to quote from Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam, and it's so funny because when I was preparing this year, you'll see. One second, let me just, there's four comments. Oh, Shani, you were talking about a raven is the same shosh as a ravos. Very nice. Okay, beautiful. Nancy says, showing up, capital letters, I must do that, period, because giving up is not an option. That's exactly right. Because a person who doesn't even show up is a person who has, in a sense, given up. If the rush is there, the wicked son is there, he might not have eloquent words, he might feel angry, maybe his life experiences brought him to a certain place where he says, who are you praying to? But he's in the cinema hall, said Rabbi Dr. J.J. Schachter. And he's asking. And what did his father, Zatzal, do? He gave him a hug. So if you remember what we spoke about last week, someone, just what's at me today. Actually, two people what's at me today who listened to the shiur online. Both appreciated it very, very much. One of them who is not observant, who follows the Shari Shir, Yisha'av Chizak, said to my husband, if no one comes, I won't give Shir. But you should know, besides four, can I know how the 21 participants, ladies here, are of Prague, taking out the time to learn, be mechazik, each other. People listen online. And one person who is not observant, who follows the Shir, who says how it changed her life this COVID year, and she started to learn Torah, and it's unbelievable schosim that come from this. We can't even imagine. I can't imagine. She said it was so validating. She said people are always saying, God only gives you what you can handle. And when life isn't so easy, she found it very moving. So remember, and someone else sent me a voice note. She listened online on Friday. She was actually crying about the Varis Tichli Le'olam. Remember we spoke about last week of Aristich Lil Olam, Aristich Bechasr of Mishpat of Tzadak, the betrothal between us and God. So when I went to this source that I'm going to quote from now, from Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam, Zichron Alevracha, from a different sefer than what I quoted from last week, pay attention, because Hashem brought it all together beautifully. So tonight I'm quoting from Festivals of Faith, Reflections on the Jewish Holidays. He also talks about this idea in this excerpt I'm going to be quoting about questions, about asking. Like we're speaking about tonight, the Arba Banim, the Arba Kashos, the four statements of the four sons, the four questions, Mikan HaBen Shoel, the question piercing the heavens from the cinema hall at that prayer service, something we can't fathom or imagine. I'm going to quote from Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb, continuing this idea of Seder night is a night for asking questions. And as long as you show up, Mikan HaBen Shoel, you have permission to ask. Question is, like Nancy said, are you there? Or are you outside? It's not only, by the way, I want to add something. It's not only about physically being there. It's about emotionally, spiritually, cognitively being in the moment with the Ribono Shel Olam. I heard Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg say a very interesting idea. I listened to a shiur my morning on this fast. I listened to a shiur this morning on my fast talk. And I heard Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg say a very interesting idea. Adam HaRishon, by Ma'isa Bereishis, when he was created. It's a pasuk that I quote so often, and I've spoken about many times, but I never considered this question before. So the pasuk says in Bereishis 2:7, Perek Beis Pasuk Zayin, Vayitzar Hashem Elokim Es HaAdam, Afar Min HaAdama, Vayipach Ba'apav Nishmas Chayim, Vayi Adam LeNefesh Chaya. Vayitzar Hashem Elokim Es HaAdam, God Elokim fashioned man, Afar Min HaAdama, dust from the earth, Vayipach Ba'apav Nishma Chayim, he blew into his nostrils the soul of life. So man is made of Gashmi, material, Afar Min HaAdama, Ruchani, the soul, the life, the breath of God is your soul. A man became a living spirit. So I think it might be the most famous unklos on kol Torah kulo, especially for us lay people. So what does it mean? V'havas ba'adam l'ruach memala. Who doesn't know that unklos? Man became a speaking spirit. So as Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg's chiddush, which I never even thought of before. Okay, Isha is not created to the end of Perek Beis. Beis 2:22. Okay. So somewhere along the way, Hashem says, you know, it's not good for man to be alone. I'll make a helper opposite him. Okay, 2:22, he puts him to sleep. He takes from his saibun, and he vayivin le'isha. Vayivin atatzela asher lakach le'isha, vayivin la adam. Vayomer adam zod hapam etzame atzamay, basar mi basari lezot yikare isha. So beautiful. Rabbi Goldberg said, okay, so the whole essence of man's creation in 2:7, the whole godless, the most famous unklos, I would say, in Chumash to the layperson, is man became a speaking spirit. So Rabbi Goldberg says, what does man need the power of speech if there's no one to talk to? I never thought of it before. Maybe after Isha was created. So now you should say, Vahav Havas Ba'adam Uvil Isha L'ruach Mamalah. They're both speaking spirits because now they have someone to talk to. What are you doing with speech? There's no one to talk to. You're going to talk to yourself. You're going to go crazy. What do they need the Koach HaDibur for? He said there was someone to talk to. God. The primary purpose of our speech mechanism, of the gift of speech, of the ability to ask. Mikan HaBen Shoel, he wasn't talking about this topic at all, but I'm relating what he said to our shir tonight. You have the Koach HaDibur. So you want to ask someone a question? You want to talk? You know the primary recipient of Koach HaDibur is? For what was Dibur created? Isha wasn't around. Adam was all alone. Was to talk to God. So even when you're all alone, you made it into the cinema hall. You made it into the Beis Knesses. You made it to the Seder table. And you have a day when you feel like the Rasha, or maybe you're feeling like the She'enu Yodei, or you're feeling like the Tam. Not every day you feel like the Chacham. Let's just face it. In fact, the Chacham's outnumbered. There are three other options, and there's only one day when you can feel like a wise son. But you have the power to talk. To talk to who? So maybe we can add a new insight into V'igadata L'bincha. Oh, sorry, I just moved my computer. V'igadata L'bincha perhaps means what? Tell who? Yourself. Tell the child within you. Ba'avur za'a sa'a Hashem li. B'tzeisi mi mitzrayim. So I'm now going to quote from Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb. Chassidim tell a charming story. Hey, this is a drasha on Pesach. This was given in Pesach 5:7, 1967. Hasidim tell a charming story. In the very first generation of the Hasidic movement, there was a great saint known as the Shpaler Zeta, the Shpaler grandfather, the Shpaler Zeta, the Zeta. It happened that at the Seder table, on the first night of Pesach, he called upon his youngster to recite the order of the Seder. How do we begin the Seder? Before you make Kiddush. Kadesh, Urchatz, Karpas, Yachatz. Some of us have a tune, which I'm not going to sing, because people do listen to this online. He called upon his youngster to recite the order of the Seder. Kadesh, Urchatz, Karpas, Yachatz, 15 orders of the Seder. In those days, and says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb, even in our days, as I remember from my elementary yeshiva days, the youngster would not just list the items, but would explain each one in Yiddish. So, for example, Kaddish, this is how they were taught in Cheder, as der Tate kommt daheim von Schul, macht ihr Kiddush baut, kidei der Kinder sollen nicht schlafen, und sie sollen fragen manishtana. Kaddish means, this is what the child would say. In other words, they wouldn't say Kaddish or Chatz Karpazach. They would say Kaddish, I already said the Yiddish, means when father comes home from the synagogue on Passover Eve, he must make the Kiddush quickly, so the children should not fall asleep, kidei der Kinder sollen nicht schlafen, and they'd be able to recite the Manishtana. Now, when the Shpaler Zeta invited his son to recite the formula, he didn't say the entire thing. He said Kaddish, when father comes home from Shul, let him make Kiddush. He did not recite the rest. He did not say so that the children should not fall asleep and they should ask the Manishtana. The father was very upset. The Shpaler Zeta was very upset that his son had not been taught the entire explanation of Kaddish in Cheder, in school. The next day at the table, after the morning services on the first day of Pesach, the child's Malamed, the Cheder Malamed, was present, the teacher. So the Shpaler Zeta asked why his son didn't know the whole explanation. So the Cheder Malamed said he did not think the rest of the citation was important. The boys didn't need to know. At this, the Shpaler Zeta became upset. He rebuked him. And he said to the Cheder Malamed, you have no idea of the great meaning in this simple Yiddish explanation. What does it mean? Kaddish, to be Mekaddish, to be sanctified, to be holy, to set apart ourselves for God. What does it mean? As der Tate kommt daheim von Schul, macht der Kiddush bald. You can't forget the rest. Kidei der Kinder sollen nicht schlafen und sie sollen fragen Manishtana. It refers, said the Shpaler Zeta, not only to the father of the house and his child. And keep in mind what Rabbi Shai Shechter told us on the other day about Khan HaBen Shoel. The Ishbisur says, you're not talking about a child asking the father at the table. We're talking about you asking your father in heaven. What does it refer to? When God, our Father in heaven, when the Ribon Sho'olam leaves the synagogue, Kaviyachal, on Passover Eve, and he sees his Jews, his children, so overcome with fervor and piety, he performs the Kiddushin. I couldn't believe when I was preparing, because this is such a part two of last week's shir. Not the recitation of the Kiddush. The Ribono Shel Olam betroths us. He marries us. He performs the Kiddushin of marriage. He remarries. He re-betroths the people of Israel. He once again recites the vow, and I'm literally quoting, Va'arastich li b'tzadek u'b'mishpa b'chesed u'v'rachamim. That was our whole shiur last week. Kaddish, as der Tate, capital T, kommt dahin von Shul, macht der Kiddush bald. When the Ribono Shel Olam leaves the synagogue with his children on Pesach Eve, and he sees them overcome with fervor and piety, he is betrothed to us, and we are betrothed to him once again. And why does he do that? Continued the Shpaler Zeta to the Cheder Malamed. Here the metaphor switches. Israel is no longer the bride, but the child. The Yaled Sha'ashu'im. We become the delightful child of the Almighty God. God turns to us. We have to make Kiddush quickly. Why? Kidei der Kinder sollen nicht schlafen. So the children should not fall asleep in exile. I'm going to relate this to the first part of our shir, because if we fall asleep in exile, which son will we become? Not the first, the second, the third, or the fourth. If we fall asleep, which son will we be? one who's outside, the one who doesn't even come into shul anymore, the one who's not in the cinema hall. So that we do not become comatose and fall into the everlasting sleep of galus. God seeks us out lest we become vanishing Jews, lest we disappear in the course of persecution and our own forgetfulness. The Ribbono Shel Olam wants us. He wants his children to rise up. He wants us to challenge him and to say, Manishtana halayla hazos, halayla hazeh, mikol halelos. Why is this night so different from all the other nights? Why is this night, God wants us to say, so much colder? Why is this exile so much blacker? Why is this galus so much longer, more heartrending, more agonizing than any other exile ever was before? Manishtana halayla hazeh does not merely mean, why is this night different? But wherefore? Lema nishtana halayla hazeh mikol halelos. What purpose, we must ask our Father in heaven, is served by the exile? What purpose can we learn from the fact that it's so long and dark, from a night that is so endless, from a blackness that is so bitter and so frightening? Said the Shpoler Zeta to the Cheder Malamir, this isn't some simple recitation of school children. Kaddish means, as der Tata kumt daheim fin shol, when the Ribbono Shel Olam leaves synagogue with his prayerful children, Machten Kiddush Balt, he marries us right away, Kiddushin. He comes into homes and Leila Seder, and he says once again, V'arastichli b'tzadik v'mishbur v'chasad b'rachamim. All right, at you, the B'nai Yisrael, Mikudeshad Li, the Ribbono Shel Olam. And why do you have to make Kiddushin right away? Kidei der Kinder zon nishlifan. So that we do not become the fifth son. So that we do not become the one who's outside. Why is there charosis on the table? So Chazal say, yeah, it's to remember the tapuach. And some say it's to remember the tit, the mortar, the cement, the bricks. And some say you put it together and it has to have elements of both. But why don't you make a bracha? Because the charosis represents the power of he who just shows up. Today, thy kinder's on the schluffen, so we don't fall asleep in this galus. Unze zollen fragen manishtana. So my children said, God, don't fall asleep. So they turn to me and they ask, Kidei der Kinder zol fragen manishtana. God wants us not to question him or his ways, but to inquire after the purpose of our suffering so that we might use it creatively and nobly. And not only does it relate very much to last week's shiur, but I think it also relates to everything we've been exploring the past 2 months. I just read something in the Rabbi Dr. Twersky Haggadah, which I just ordered, that I want to get up and get. 1 second. I just ordered this on artschool.com. I mean, not just this in the second, but earlier this week. It's Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky Zatzal, Haggadah Shel Pesach, From Bondage to Freedom. So I was looking through it. And how do we conclude the Seder? With Nirtza. Halel Nirtza, all appeased. Let's find favor, goodwill in the eyes of God. So Rabbi Dr. Twersky writes, the great theologian and ethicist, Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato, the Ramchal, he's buried in the north. We were by his kever in Eretz Yisrael almost 2 years ago. Ramchal, one of the greatest Bali Musar of the last few hundred years. Ramchal states, the entire existence of man is one vast set of challenges. This is Rabbi Dr. Twersky's explanation of Nirtza, all appeased. The great theologian and ethicist Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato states, the entire existence of man is one vast set of challenges. The divine wisdom has decreed that it must be so, for reasons known only to God. By accepting this, that our existence is one vast set of challenges, and following the ascent to spirituality, We fulfill the divine will, and then we will find favor in the eyes of God. The entire existence of man is one vast set of challenges. The divine wisdom has decreed it must be so for reasons only known to God. But when we accept this, and nevertheless we fall on ascent to spirituality, by fulfilling the divine will, nirtza, all appeased, we will find favor in the eyes of God. By Yukod Ha'am, Al Basuras HaGu'ula, Al Bias Ha'aretz, Al Basuras HaBanim Shiulahem. People rejoiced. Shemos 12:27. Why did they rejoice? Because I have a son. You know what kind of son? Maybe he's not the Chacham or the Tam, and he's not the She'en Yodea, but at least he's at the table. At least he's in the cinema hall. At least he's still asking. Hurry home from Shul and mach the Kiddush. G'day dir kinder is on the Shluffin. Don't fall asleep in Galus. Because Rabban Shalom is waiting for us, our Father in Heaven. He's waiting for us to say, why is this night, this exile, our Nisyonos, so different than all the other nights of the year? That's the role of the Charosa, says Rabbi Dr. J.J. Schechter. Just show up. Not everything has a bracha, but it's the power of bringing everything together. What does the Ishbitzer say? Kan haben sho'al. So Rabbi Shai Shechter to me, Mezman, tonight, you have permission to ask God for anything you want. Said the Cheder Malamir, I didn't think it was important. Said the Shpoler Zeda, the whole essence of Leil Seder depends on the Kedushin between us and the Ribono Sho'olam, and us staying awake long enough to ask, to question. And ultimately, said Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg, why do we have the Koach HaDibra, Kol HaMar B'Lesapa, Reza Meshubach? If Adam was created in Bereshis 2:7 and she's not created till 2:22 and he has no one to talk to, you know who you can always talk to? Kedei Sheyishalu HaTinokos. Who are you praying to? The God who put your father and mother into the crematorium? But at least he's there. And who are the four sons? V'yigadatala bincha. They're us. We are all the four sons. I really, may Amakeh Halev, thank each and every one of you individually. There is no pun intended for making the effort to show up tonight. It's very mechazek. I prepared the shir and I said, I don't know the mezben. I'm going out on a limb. But you showed up. And I hope everyone gained some new insights. You quoted a lot of beautiful sources. Something to bring to the Seder table. That's what Hashem, when we all show up. May the Neshama of Miriam Fron, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Allah Hashem, an eternal Aliyah. Halavai, halavai. Benisan Nigalu. Benisan Asidin Nigal. I wish everybody a wonderful, meaningful, uplifting Chag Kasher V'Sameach. There's no Shir on Chol Hamoed. Be'ezrat Hashem, we resume the Wednesday after Yom Tov. Thank you so much, everybody. Good Yom Tov to all. Thank you. And good Shabbos.